This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Morning, I'm Chris Plunkett. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. Over the next hour, we'll be talking and informing you on steps you can do to be prepared for emergencies and disasters that affect your personal property or your business. I also have a guest on. His name is Dan O'Brien. He's does electrical power systems, generators, and things of that nature, but we'll talk about that later on. The show, we like to – what I do is I do emergency services on property, and I do a lot of educating when I get on the, when I get on the scene. So that's – I'm encapsulating the education in an hour's program. That's what we do every week. I also want to just throw out a thanks for last week's guest is Dave Finyahazi from Fabric and Rule. We spoke about fabrics and that doesn't sound glorious, but fabrics and clothing and things like that and how to salvage them if they can be salvaged from fire, smoke, and mold and water damage, stuff like that. But primarily, I like to educate people on how to mitigate, meaning being prepared and limit the damage that affects them after a loss happens and or if the before they even happens, they have the right tools to assist themselves before anybody else shows up, whether it be the fire department, the police department, guys like myself and emergency services. I have a series of tips that you also can see on my website. That's cppems.com. I call them disaster safety tips, and I think it's a good rule of thumb. You really should apply some of these things to your daily lives in case there's a power outage, in case a nor'easter comes through the area, or even people down in Florida. I mean, we have a lot of people up here in the Northeast that 6 months out of the year, they're snowbirds. They live down in Florida. They should have things prepared in case. I mean, Florida's always getting crushed with hurricanes. I'm not a weatherman, but I've worked several of them. Spent enough time down there to know that there's a lot of people unprepared. And this past season with the not season, but with winter and then the March 13th storms, I would have to say I wouldn't have to do as much work as I do if people had the right tools and they were prepared. And I'm not saying that, you know, they're at fault for it. It's just something that, yeah, I mean, everybody knows 911. So this is similar to that. You should have a so-called toolkit for yourself, however you want to phrase it. You know, for example, you know, you should have canned goods. You know, you should have bottles of water and some blankets. Even a first aid kit, and prescription drugs. You know, you should have those written down. I just recently, I think about 6 or 7 months ago, I unfortunately had to go to the hospital. Something happened with my foot, and I didn't even know the actual dosage of my own medicine. I mean, you know, I'm in the emergency service business. I'm in the disaster recovery business, and for me not to have it is, you know, I'm telling people what they should be doing. I'm not even doing it myself. So it was a lesson learned, I'll tell you that. So, you know, regarding what you should know in preparation for these disasters, you know, that, you know, with your food and your water and your prescription drugs and a first aid kit, you should know how to turn off the gas in your house. You should learn how to turn off the water in your house. You know, some people don't even know where their electrical panel is. I've been to people's homes and I said, okay, I need to put in deodorization machines or drying equipment. Where's your panel at? Oh, gosh, I don't know. You know, and which is kind of funny. I mean, you're spending a lot of money. It's the biggest asset you're ever going to buy in your entire life is your home. And so you should really have, you should know every nooks and crannies of that home, you know, along with, you know, if something happens, if God forbid, if there is a fire in your home or if there is a grease fire in your home and, you know, there might be some form of panic setting in, you know, you should have an exit route, you know, grab the kids if you have the kids and shuffle them at the, is it the back door or is it the front door or whatever entry or exit, I should say, is most convenient. But there should be some form of game plan. I'll give an example about my own home. In my front door, you walk in, there's I have shoes everywhere. There's shoes everywhere. And And it's more times than not that I've used certain words to describe my frustration when I open up that door and I'm going right into a flip-flop. You know, we have more shoes than Imelda Marcos. It's crazy. But, you know, knowing your entries and your exits and having a clear path to that, you're also talking about you know, where should you, if something does happen and you live in a large house where the kids are outside and, you know, how do you get off the property? You know, those things you should also learn and have some form of exit plan. You ever been in a building, come out of the elevator or even inside the elevator, there's always that diagram of you're here, here's the stairs, here's the elevator, you know, what to do, what to walk out. Then it's applicable to your own home. You should have it also. Again, these things I see on a daily basis from these floods that I go to, or these fires, or these or interior building collapses. You know, from one apartment to the other, and people. I'll say so. You know, basically, when I come onto the job, I say, you know, is everybody okay? You know, how are you feeling? So on and so forth, and then they give me the story about how they panicked. You know, so. And I think of it like, you know, when you're in school, did you prepare for your test? And if you didn't prepare for your test, you had anxiety the night before because you know you weren't prepared. So this is the same thing. If something does happen and you do have some plan that you can execute, it makes things a lot easier. It really does. And, you know, and you can save a lot more things. You know, whether it's you have an emergency bag for clothing, or even if you have your find valuables, they're stored somewhere, and you know at least you know where they're at. Because you know, one of the things as me coming in after a fire or things like that, you know, the fire department, when they enter a house, they don't know the lay of the land. You know, but you know, those guys are trained in the tools of fighting a fire. You should be on the preparedness side of, okay, a fire happened over here. I'm going to do this. I'm coming out this way, or I'm going out that way. I'm going to get Billy. I'm going to get little Susie. So, you know, along with inside that toolkit, you should have batteries for your flashlight. A number of people I run into don't even have a flashlight. It's ridiculous. You know, they use the cell phone. They use it as a light, as a form of light. And also having your backup battery for your cell phone, because most people have all this contact information. In case calling your boss, I'm not going to be in work because I had a flood in my home or I had a fire, you know, which also leads me into, you know, everybody knows 911. So you really need to have the phone numbers of your local plumber, whoever you use. I know you know his name, but I can, you know, besides the magnet that sometimes is on the refrigerator and sometimes it's not on the refrigerator, you should have it right underneath the contact emergency numbers. You know, the fire department, you know, 911, everyone has that. So you should have your plumber's number there. You should have your electrician's number there, whoever it may be. It could be, you know, John the electrician. Could be Dan the electrician. And another very important phone number is to have is your insurance agent / broker, however you want to classify him as, because you need to put him on notice if something happens to your property. And then, you know, it sounds like I'm leaning towards the Harry homeowner stuff, but I'm not. I'm talking about businesses also. You know, there's no glory in trying to do it all yourself. You know, you pay your premiums or you pay your dues to your association, and it's your responsibility to make these people aware. And it falls back onto your shoulders, because if you don't report these types of disasters or emergencies, you're not really being compliant with your policy. Because if there's something else, if you don't mitigate the damage now, and something happens down the line because of the initial damage, most likely they're not going to be listening to you more tentatively like they would as if you called them when the incident happened. Like in a court of law, like, oops, sorry, judge, I forgot to pay. It doesn't matter. Now you have a bench warrant for you. You know, it's there's no difference. You know, ignorance is not recognized in a court of law. So these are the things, and you know, it's a peace of mind. You go on vacation, you should have a shutoff valve on your washer and dryer. It's simple, but you know what? Get the plumber out there for $200. Are you kidding me? Get the guy to come out there. Or have your local electrician come out. Just make sure the panel is up to date. And if you need some things, you might be overloaded. And people, and I see a lot of fires during the holidays. People overload outlets, Christmas trees, candles, those types of things. You really should have some form of plan. And I'm not saying you should spend an entire Saturday with your family, pretending there's a fire happening in your house. But at least discuss it. A set of car keys, your credit card, some spare cash. These are the things that make, when the disaster happens, it makes those small things seem very important. That I was like, oh, thank God I did that, or thank God I did this, because basically you're unprepared. I'm Chris Plunkett, and this is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And you're back. You're listening to Chris Plunkett. I'm your host for the Disaster Recovery Hour. What we do on this show is we try to give you the tools to and preparedness for if something happens to your property, your personal property, or your businesses, and even in your neighborhoods. There's always the proverbial block watch, if you will, looking out for your neighbor. It's a good American thing to do anyhow. My guest today is Dan O'Brien. Dan is he's an electrician by trade. He does a lot of he also owns Electrical Power Systems and Academy Electric. He does a lot of work on powering up buildings and homes, full neighborhoods, and during these disasters and when they affect the large areas of the region. And we had two very large. We had the snowstorm, and then we had the March 13th storm. And I was extremely busy, and Dan was a lot more busier than I was, because he's got the juice. He's got the power. Dan is a man in need when it comes like that. And he's in need throughout the year. How you doing, Dan?
Very, very good, Chris. Good morning.
Dan, why don't we let's talk about the length of time you've been in business and give the people a little background.
Again, good morning. Yeah, we started back in 1981. Always in the electrical trade, catered to the generator end of that. Always been working with generators, installing standby backup machinery for residential, commercial, and industrial applications. And we also do full-service electrical contracting. The generator business has grown into adding rental generators. We have a fleet of trailer-mounted diesel rental generators that we rent on a needed basis, either for the party in somebody's backyard or the emergency disaster stuff that we've done with you.
Mm. Dan and I met years ago, but one of the jobs that sticks out the most is there was a fire in Closter, New Jersey, not too far, about 7-10 minutes from GW Bridge. Weyerhaeuser, it's a cardboard and paper manufacturer. So there was a big fire, and I think what 8 or 9 fire departments came to assist in putting that out.
Yeah, there were a lot of towns a lot of fire engines, a lot of hose,
a lot of red trucks. And I let me add that Dan is a captain in a fire department, so he was instrumental in being a first responder on that job. But one of the big thing for them as a manufacturing plant, even though it was knocked down because of the fire, they still need power. Okay, and what happens in these instances is the local power authority comes in, they cut power from the street. Is that correct, Dan?
Yeah, the Rockland Electric came and disconnected the power at the street.
So, it was a big fire. I had a lot of men there, and we coordinated quite well together. A lot of there's the fire departments, there's the OEM of the county, and then there's guys like myself who do emergency services. And then Dan, besides actually fighting the fire, Dan was instrumental in getting these guys power so they can go through all their paperwork and their computers and retrieve all that stuff. So Dan, why don't you expand on that?
Yeah, we came in. The first generator we brought to you was for your equipment and to bring some temporary lighting into the office area. Like you said, they had to get at their files and whatnot. The next thing is we brought another generator in to power sections of the building that weren't damaged by the fire so that their maintenance people could start to perform remediation services on their equipment to limit the damage from all of the water with the rust and all of that. But without power to the equipment, they can't move it, they can't turn it, they can't do anything. So again, power was critical to get to their equipment.
Right. Now, which leads us, right? I mean, that's a business, and we'll talk about businesses and generators after we talk about it. But you know what? There's more homes than businesses, and with this past March 13th storm, I was without power, and unfortunately, I didn't have my generator. I know you were busy. Why don't you, let's talk about this generator, because people think they can just go out and buy a generator, and it's, put some gas in and fire it up, and away you go. It's not that simple, is it?
No, there's a lot more to it than that. Everything always seems simple until you get involved into it. Most of the generators that you're thinking about, something in a portable line, gasoline-fueled, is really designed and built to power construction sites. Some floodlighting, maybe a big circular saw or a drill. The quality of the power that's required to power that equipment is not the quality of the power that is required to power, say, your refrigerator or your furnace. That equipment has some electronics in it, and you've got to be very careful how you power that equipment. It's really not designed to be done off a portable generator. You need to get something a little more quality oriented.
Right. The underlining there could be a danger of like zapping out some of your appliances because it's not hooked up properly. Is that correct?
Right. You could definitely damage the electronics in your equipment. It's not designed to be on that kind of power. And then the other thing you got to be really careful of is a lot of people think that they can backfeed is a word I hear all the time, that I can backfeed my house. I can plug it into the outlet and backfeed my house. The wiring system was never designed to do that. You could cause more damage than good by doing it that way. You should really have it installed by a professional.
Right. And most of the times, insurance company is not going to be too happy with you playing electrical man. If you just joined us, this is Chris Plunkett. I'm your host for the Disaster Recovery Hour. Speaking with Dan O'Brien, he's an electrician by trade. He owns Electrical Power Systems and Academy Electric. Dan has truck-mounted generators and smaller generators, and Dan is a man of in need, especially recently in the last, say, 5 to 10 years, our storms have gotten bigger. Dan's been up and down the East Coast and been called down south for his generator. Dan's got a great reputation in our entire tri-state area. So, Dan, we're talking about, generators and houses. So tell me a little bit about this backfeed thing, because I got to tell you, Someone came to my house with a generator, a buddy of mine. He's like, "Hey, we just backfeed your house," and that's when I gave you a call. So what's with that?
The wiring in your home was not designed to put power in. It was designed to take power out. If you want to do something with a good quality portable generator, they make manual transfer switches. You could have a contractor like us who caters to this work, install a manual transfer switch. There are plenty of other electrical contractors out there that know how to do this, but I strongly urge you to have the equipment installed so that you feed the power the proper way and don't make a bad situation worse.
Right. And again, what I was saying about the insurance companies is, about mitigating damage. Okay, you did the prudent thing of getting a generator, which is not that simple to do. But if you cause further damage to your house because of this generator, the insurance carrier is not going to look lightly on that. Now there's a couple of routes you can take with the generators, right? There's the manual kind, which everybody knows about, the pull, I'm assuming, right? Then there's the automatic system. What's the pros and cons of there? And there's also cost difference, because people will say, forget about it. I'm just going to go get myself an $800 generator, and I'll do this, I'll do that. The average loss from water damage in your basement, a finished basement, most of us in our area, Tri-State area, have finished basements, they're like 10 to 20 grand, So do you spend, why don't you tell me the difference and what you think should be done?
Well, again, an automatic system is exactly that. It's a completely automatic system. The manual system, you need to be home. You need to be able to physically move the portable generator. You need to be able to do cabling. The generator runs on gas. Most of the portable generators run on gasoline. You need to store gasoline. That's another hazard you need to take a look at. The generators run for a period of time, depending upon the capacity of the fuel tank. And now you're going to be out there with a gas can pouring gasoline into a hot engine to get your generator back running again. I can't tell you how dangerous that is.
Right. And you and I have been on fires from just that, as well as those propane tanks. But the automatic system, how is that installed? What does that entail?
An automatic system, the generator gets installed outside the home or business. It can be fueled by multiple things, and we'll get a little bit more into that later. Inside the home or the business, there's an automatic transfer switch. So basically what happens is while you're sitting in your chair or sitting at your desk, the lights would go out. In 15 to 45 seconds, the engine outside would start up, produce its power. The transfer switch would then electrically switch the circuits from the utility power to the generator power. And most home standby generators have better voltage control systems in them. They have electronic governor systems in them. So the power, the quality of the power that a standby system makes is far superior to the power that you're going to get out of a portable generator. And a home standby system is not going to, the power that that system is going to make is not going to damage your refrigerator or damage your furnace, take the electronics out. You go out and you buy a small portable generator and you spent maybe $800, $1,000, but you blow up your $3,000 refrigerator. What have you done?
Right. You know, and this is on a, you can even talk about resale value. You know, you want to sell your home and say, well, you know what? I live in a certain area of town. You know, I buy a reservoir, blah 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 blah. But you know what? I have a backup generator. I have an automatic system. You know what kind of resale value that would bring to your home? It's. I mean, I'm not a realtor, and either of you, but you know even more than I do.
Chris, we work for a number of home builders that build homes, and one that pops into my head is a gentleman up in Englewood Cliffs, which is an area that's very prone to flooding and has multiple power outages. This general contractor built a home and installed the generator in his spec home that he built. His competitor across the street did not. A prospective buyer came and looked at both of those houses. The one with the generator sold.
Huh. Well, we're talking with Dan O'Brien from Academy Electric and Electrical Power Systems. Let's take a little break here. You listen to myself, Chris Plunkett, and the Disaster Recovery Hour. Be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
This is Disaster Recovery Hour. I am Chris Plunkett. I'm speaking with a longtime friend and a business associate of mine, Dan O'Brien. Dan owns Electrical Power Systems and Academy Electric. He's an electrician by trade, but the majority of his work is in the powering of people's homes and businesses, which has been more frequent with these storms in the last X amount of years. Dan, why don't you, we were talking about that Angle Cliffs guy, and everybody in the region knows what Angle, it's right on the cusp of the GW Bridge. So you had Mr. Smarty Pants on one side of the street and not Mr. Smarty Pants on the other, basically.
Yeah, the developer had enough foresight to see that, you know, it was a, installing a home standby generator in a house today is almost as commonplace as the central air conditioning systems were 10 years ago. And it's becoming more and more prudent to put this in, again, for preparedness, because the power does not stay on 24/7. And the storms are becoming more frequent. They're becoming more ferocious when they do come to our neighborhood. And power's everything. You know, nothing in your home works anymore today without power. The old ding-a-ling telephone doesn't ding-a-ling anymore. There's a phone system, and it needs power. Your garage doors are these big garage doors hooked up to an electric motor. Most people can't lift them up. They're so big and so heavy. So without power, we're really up a creek without a paddle. Right.
And that's for another show regarding the antiquated system we have up and down this East Coast grid, right?
So. Yeah, the entire power grid in the entire tri-state area has seen better days.
Yeah, well, we're going to hurt somebody's feeling on the next show, I'll tell you that. But, you know, now, so you have the guy installs the new system in a new home, but the old home, which is probably 95-96% of our area, they're all older homes. So the system that you recommend, or but both sides, you know, because there's a dollar attached to this, but the resale's got to be great, right?
The resale on the home is definitely something you'll get back all of your money. Basically, I look at a standby generator that gets installed either at a home or at a business as nothing more than an insurance policy. This is an insurance policy that you get all your money back on.
Right.
The investment goes into the equipment. If you do go through a power failure, you're ahead of the game. When the time comes that you sell your property, you get your money back.
Right. This past March, there was only one guy, and I went up and down where we live. I went up and down that main road, Kinnickermack Road, looking for something to be open. There was one guy, and he had a backup generator. And he owned the bagel store, and he was packed.
Yep.
You know? So, and you know what? His insurance carrier, I don't know if you can ask your broker or your agent if there's, you know how you get these you're getting rebates for being a good driver. Maybe there's some form of discount if you have a backup generator system, because, you know, in the insurance language, it's called BI, business interruption, and insurance carriers don't like spending that money or giving you that money. They'd rather have you up and generating your own money than you actually giving their money to you. What about the business owner? I mean, he's in a strip mall. How does he go about having a backup generator for himself?
Anybody can actually get a generator installed. Of course, it's all got to be done to the codes, and it's got to be installed, and permits have to be pulled, and inspections have to be made. But, I mean, my business, because of the business that I'm in, of course, I have a backup generator. And I know that when my insurance gets renewed, one of the things that does come up is that the generator is there, and there is a discount on my insurance, and I believe it's for the business interruption part of my insurance, because my business doesn't get interrupted when there's a power failure. But any business, there's a way. There's multiple ways that we can do this. And if you're interested, you need to, you know, to get us to come out, take a look at your facility, take a look at your property, and we'll find a solution.
Right. Yeah, problem solving, like any good business owner. So with the business interruption, you know, as a business owner, besides, you know, generating dollars and making a product such as bagels or sandwiches or pizzas, you know what? You have employees. You know, you're out of business for, say, 5 or 6 days. Some of those employees are family, major breadwinners in their homes. You know, they need to be at work. They don't want to know that, sure, my salary is going to be covered 6 months from now. They want to know that, am I getting paid this week? And as the responsibility of as a business owner, you're not, technically, you don't have to pay that guy because you're not generating money in your own right. You're out of business. So, you know, calling, you know, getting the insurance company involved is, you know, just like what I was talking about, the preparedness for a home. You have a lot larger responsibility and exposure of liability to be prepared as a business owner when you have employees. If you just tuned in, I'm Chris Plunkett. You're listening to Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm speaking with Dan O'Brien from Academy Electric and Electrical Power Systems. So, Dan, regarding the generators for the businesses, you're saying that you have it with you, and God, you wouldn't be very successful if you went out of business and couldn't power your own self. So there is some form of discount that you're getting or credit by having the backup generator. So it sounds like a no-brainer for a business owner.
Basically, you know, it comes to the point of this is that if the power does go out, you've probably going to still have some payroll that you've got to make.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost production. If you have a business where you have perishable goods, there's a good chance that you're going to lose your perishable goods. If you're in a service business, I know we have some restaurants that we've installed generators for, and they were the only restaurant open. Let me tell you, the line was out the door,
right?
Because the people went home. They had no power. They couldn't cook.
Right.
They went out to eat. This was the only guy that was open. Landslide business. It's not a matter of what it's going to cost me to put the generator in to the business owner. It's what it's going to cost me if I don't have it when that power failure does come.
Right. Now, not too long ago, what there was down in somewhere in Hudson County or was it Bergen County, you didn't have a storm-related incident here. You had – what was that power? The guy – blew out the panel or something like that, but a manufacturing firm with, what, over 100 and some odd employees?
Yeah, over 100 employees at a manufacturing facility. I believe that was in Carlstadt, New Jersey. We got a call from an electrical contractor. He had a 4,000-amp electrical service that just had a total meltdown. We brought in a large tractor-trailer-style generator in, and all of the temporary cabling that it took to cable that generator back into that building. And 6 hours later, there's 100 people working. The generator powered the building for the entire week while the electrical contractor did the repair work that he had to do. Basically, this guy had a six-hour hiccup instead of a week downtime.
So payroll alone was probably, I'm not even going to speculate, but tens and tens of thousands of dollars. But also, okay, you're manufacturing, so it's, the people doing the actual physical labor work inside the plant, you know, I would imagine those, you know, their money is extremely valuable to their family. So, and then, again, like I said before, waiting X amount of months to get paid back from the insurance carrier to your business owner, then he's going to cut you a check. You know, you'd rather, people would rather go to work. They really would. They'd rather just see their paycheck at the end of the week. And obviously, for a little backup generator, say, 5,000 or 6,000, whatever, I don't know the amperage responsible generated for that, but you saved the guy tens of thousands of dollars.
He definitely saved money in the long run. Between what the business interruption insurance paid us for the generator end, he had to pay the fuel bill for the generator because he wasn't buying electricity from the local utility company. But in the long run, he stopped producing his product for 6 hours, all said and done. Either that or he would have not been producing any product for over a week. The numbers are staggering when you look at that. But this was an emergency type thing that was done because of his catastrophe. Businesses that rely on computers and rely on their phone systems to stay in business don't need a massive generator system to keep up their bare necessities so that they can stay in business.
Mm. Yeah, I you would hope a business owner has a plan. In effect, I think I have some tips on my website. I think you have some tips on your website. I always say this all the time. You don't want to meet me professionally. You want to meet me socially because generally something bad happened. There's more homeowners than business owners. I'd like to go back and visit this homeowner generator scenario. Again, try to get that mindset of, you know, just getting a generator and putting some gas in and firing it up. Why don't you – I mean – There's a lot of liability and danger involved with that.
Well, there's multiple things that you got to worry about. First off, you're going to have to store gasoline for a prolonged period of time for when that power failure does come. So what do you do with the gasoline that's sitting in a gas can in your garage that's 6 months or a year old? It's useless. The next thing is that you need to be able to physically move a generator. These things are heavy pieces of equipment. The wiring work that's got to be done to prepare for it to start with, that's got to be done so that you don't, quote, backfeed the house. You need a manual transfer switch. Somebody's got to be there. It's a gasoline-burning engine that produces CO. It's got to be outside. Portable generators are not protected from the weather. So what do you do if it's raining or snowing? People do this. They put them in the garage. I'll leave the garage door open. The CO gas seeps into the house, and now we've got a bigger problem to deal with.
Right. And nowadays, most of the smoke detectors and CO detectors, they're hardwired. And you know what? There's a lot of people who don't put the backup battery in there. So you go without power, and then now you have this generator and you have the gas, you know. It's nuts. It's just nuts.
You've taken a bad situation, which was the power failure, and now you've compounded it and you've made it worse. And not only that, but now you're jeopardizing somebody's life.
Yeah, it's amazing. The odorless and colorless gas, right?
CO. Yep.
Well, you know what? So you have the website, and I have known Dan for a long time, and Dan and I are both in business. But Dan and I have there's a common theme we share, and that's, you know, again, being prepared. You don't want to see us. I mean, granted, we're in business to do business and pay our bills just like you guys. But you want to have preparedness to meet us on the tips that I can give you. You can go to my website or Dan's or even call us. You know, we'll be more than happy to try to steer you in the right direction. So I just want to I'm going to keep Dan around, but I definitely want to say thanks for coming on the show. And Dan's a captain in the fire department, so we're going to talk about some next time he's on about safety issues and things that you can assist yourself and make life a little more pleasurable if something goes wrong. This is Chris Plunkett. You've been listening to Disaster Recovery Hour. Be back in a moment.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
You're back with Chris Plunkett. It's a Disaster Recovery Hour. What we do on this show is we try to give you the tools and tips of being prepared in case a disaster or emergency happens to your place of business or your home. And also you can help out your neighbors. Sometimes it doesn't have to be storm-related or a bad situation. It could be just a minor electrical issue. And, you know, it's good to have these tools in your back pocket and also be a good American and assist your neighbors. I'm talking with Dan O'Brien from Academy Electric and Electrical Power Systems, and he's a dynamite guy. He's very knowledgeable, been in the business, and he's also a first responder. He's a captain in the fire department. He's been doing that for, I don't know, 30-some-odd years at this point. So, you know, he sees the bad, and then he sees the good with the people getting rehabbed after a person like myself gets done. Now, Dan, there's the other system that I'm a big fan of, and that's the automatic system of generators. Again, it's not glorious, but you know what? People want power.
Power's everything, Chris. The automatic systems that go in are permanently installed at your home or your business or an industrial application, depending upon, you know, what the need is. The generator itself sits outside. It's in an enclosure, so it can stand up to the elements of weather. Most of the better equipment is in a sound attenuated enclosure, so it's quieter than what your central air conditioning system would be. So you're not annoying your neighbor with this loud piece of machinery screaming on the side of your home. Inside the home, there'd be an automatic transfer switch, and that's an electrically operated switch that would switch the power from the utility company to the power that the generator makes. Basically, what happens with an automatic system is you just stay put within 15 to 45 seconds, depending upon the timing in the switch in the generator. Your power's back on.
So you have these things installed. You have these generators installed, and it sounds like it's worry free.
Basically worry-free, also because of the services that we offer. We offer complete turnkey installations. We size the generator. We'll pick the manufacturer out that we feel fits your application better than another manufacturer that's out there. We take care of the complete installation. We are a licensed home improvement contractor. We're a licensed electrical contractor. We have all the rigging equipment. We do the gas pipe. We pour the concrete pads. So we're one-stop shopping. Right. You come to us. And we see it from, you know, from inception to completion.
Right. And that's in the, you know, Dan's does the entire tri-state area, and he also works with some other good guys. You know, so he's got a pool of valued contractors that will work alongside him. Now when you get this system installed, you're the maintenance person on it, or could you put it onto that worry-free thing that the local utilities have?
No, we're the maintenance contractor for the generator. There is definitely maintenance to be done, just like you would have. Think about your car. You know, it's an engine. It's an engine that's driving a generator versus an engine that's going to push your car down the street. So there's oil, there's a radiator, there's batteries, there's starters, there's electrical connections. So we have a regular routine maintenance program that we have developed over the years that I feel that we cross the T's, we dot the I's, and we make sure that equipment is available for you. Well, you know, when the time comes, when the power fails, this thing's going to go.
So is it everybody and the mother tries to produce these types of machines? Because, I mean, we've been getting and starting and still getting pounded with these storms. So who's making these machines? And how do you go about rating them so Harry homeowner can do some research before he gives you a call?
Again, there's multiple manufacturers that are out there. I've always been a firm believer in that you get what you pay for. There are some equipment that is extremely economical, and there's other equipment that is extremely expensive. The product line that we prefer to do is made by Onan. It's Cummins Onan. They have a complete line of home standby generators all the way up to, you know, monster industrial big 16-cylinder diesel engines. They've been in the generator business forever. They know what they're doing. They make a dependable product. The products that we do sell, the RS series generators, have a digital in-home display. We can tie it to the internet. It can email you when it's not feeling well. It can email me when it's not feeling well. So we know that there's a problem with the machinery before you even know that there's something wrong. We want to find the problem, solve the problem before you go through the power failure.
Yeah. You just tuned in, you're late, for one thing. But this is Chris Plunkett, and this is Disaster Recovery Hour. My guest today is Dan O'Brien from Academy Electric and Electrical Power Systems. We're talking about generators because, you know what, it's a very relative discussion to be had nowadays because you're not doing anything without any power. Okay, and how many, you know, the PC&Gs of Rockland County, you know, all the other power companies. You know, oh, that power company, they're not this, they're not that. You know how to avoid that? And I'm not saying that they're either way. I'm not saying, you know, they have a tough job to do. And I've you know, those guys are at 24/7 when these disasters happen, when it smacks down in an entire region like it did this past March and in January, too. But Dan is talking about generators for businesses and homes. And you know what? There was one person in our neighborhood who had a generator, and they were looked at as if they were the gods, you know. So it'd be nice to see a lot more, and it would, you know, it wouldn't affect it would have less effect on the damage that you'll be incurring in your home, and so Dan, tell me, I know we keep on beating a dead horse here, but again, it's about preparedness, right? So having a generator, whichever the manual or the automatic system. You know, you can assist in, or them is, I'm sure there's good electricians out there, but, you know, you're one of the highly recommended in a whole area on top of being a first responder. So you really know the full ramifications of a disaster. Why don't you just sum up the nuances between the two systems?
Well, again, a manual system is usually done with a portable generator and manual controls, manual switching, manual pouring gasoline, manual, you know, stringing out cables and plugging into the manual transfer switch. An automatic system, basically, you don't have to be there. The problem with a manual system is, what do you do when the power fails and you're not home? It's December. You're away on a skiing vacation. The power fails. It's 12 degrees outside. Your house is going to freeze.
Right.
A frozen water pipe can do hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage in no time at all versus having that generator.
Right. Yeah, $100,000, then if I had to do the work, then I can definitely go on a skiing trip. But we're summing up the program, and the Disaster Recovery Hour is all about informing you on how to be prepared and some of the steps and tools that you could take and offset the future damages, or if you're in the middle of having a disaster or an emergency, you can minimize that damage. And Dan and I have been working on projects for many years now. He, along with my guest from last week and my future guest, there's an overriding theme of you know doing the right thing and taking care of the situation. And informing, you know, it's not about, you know, just coming out there, you know, let's get some power, Dan, let's, you know, about dollars and dollars and dollars. You know what? You know who's doing the right thing. Dan, I always a pleasure. I see Dan quite often. Besides, you know, Dan's in business to make money, and so am I. But you know what? We also have, reiterating this, you know, be prepared. You really don't want to see us professionally. You know, some upgrades here and some upgrades there, but... You know, Dan, it was a pleasure, and I hope you people out there got a good earful, because Dan's one of the best. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you.
Before you shoot off, give us the contact information for somebody to reach out for you.
Sure, I'd be happy to. You can contact us through the websites. The website for Academy Electric is academyelectrical.com. The Electrical Power Systems website is electricalpowersys.com. You can also contact us on the telephone, 888-NO-JUICE, pretty easy to remember that number.
Definitely.
And the Academy's toll-free number is 877-SPARKIES. We service the tri-state area. We're right here in northern New Jersey. We're a heartbeat away from the George Washington Bridge, and we have been, you know, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, no problem.
Okay, excellent. So in the next couple of weeks, I'll be bringing on some other folks who assist me in my disaster recovery business. And that's really about it. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, you've been listening to Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm Chris Plunkett. If you want to talk to me or if you want to take a look at my website, it's cppems.com. You can reach out there. I got all the information that you'll need. Also regarding safety, not so much safety tips as much as preparedness tips. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy the remainder of your weekend. Take care.
You've been listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning at 7 for the Disaster Recovery Hour, right here on AM 970, The Apple.